Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. This is Genuinely Grace. I hope you're well and surviving lockdown two, whatever that means for you, wherever you are in the world, of course, as well. There's been a few interesting news stories this week since the last time I was on the podcast. Well, there's been quite a lot going on news-wise, of course, but a few things that caught my eye alcohol-wise was that that piece about Guinness having to recall the alcohol-free Guinness due to some kind of issues. So if you've got any in your cupboard, you've got to return it to the supermarket. So that's a shame. Let's hope they get that sorted out real soon. And also there was that piece at the beginning of the week about, I think it was a cider, I don't know the brand, some kind of cider, that the bottle costs like £2.30 or something ridiculous. And it supplies you a full kind of 14 units in that one bottle, you know, your sort of weekly allowance in one bottle for £2.30. I mean, oh my God, what are we thinking of? Seriously, what are we thinking of? It's just, it's unbelievable. And then today, I just thought this tops it all, really. There was this piece in the press and the headline was "The Machine That Sobers You Up Faster." And they're talking about the fact that scientists have invented a machine that could help sober you up around three times as fast as you would normally sober up. Users are encouraged to make themselves hyperventilate by breathing hard and fast into a special face mask, which supplies them with carbon dioxide from a briefcase-sized bank. So this is all part of this machine, and they're saying that it was devised for another reason. But they're saying, you know, it could easily have, you know, another use to as they say here, drinkers who have had one too many. It said it was tested on five men in a small initial study who were given around half a large glass of vodka. The volunteers cleared the vodka more than three times as fast with the machine compared to when they did not use it. Now, this machine, by the way, costs around $30,000, so the equivalent of around £15,000. And the researcher says, or rather the guy who came up with it, who did the study, said it's a very basic, low-tech device that could be made anywhere. It's inexplicable why we didn't try this decades ago. I mean, honestly, is it me? Is it actually me? Inexplicable why we didn't try this years ago, why we didn't try buying machines for 15 grand that can sober you up faster. I tell you what, I've got a fantastic idea. How about not drinking in the first place? How about that? That's free, right? That's completely free. And it will boost your health and well-being. Oh, God, yeah, I get it. Anyways, I'm in a bit of a ranty mood this week, as you can tell. Don't get me started. Make sure you check out the TV series that I'm sharing lots of my holistic tips on. It's called Feel Good Factor TV. It's Saturday morning on Sky 192. The channel is Sky 192, the showcase channel. It's called Being Imperfectly Natural. And this week, my guest is Star Keshera, who's talking about the facelift diet, basically talking about the benefits of fresh fruit and veg for anti-aging and for looking good. You know the thing, you are what you eat and you are also what you put on your skin. So we have a chat about that. So if you get a chance to watch it, it's Feel Good Factor TV, Sky Channel 192. I think the channel starts at 8 a.m. Saturday and my show is 9 a.m. Last week I told you it was Sunday. I just got my dates mixed up. Anyways, it's Saturday morning, 9 a.m. It's only a real short little, you know, kind of feature segment. So I hope you enjoy that. And don't forget, if you ever want to look at any of my Imperfectly Natural stuff, just go to the website, imperfectlynatural.com. Anyways, that leads me on very nicely to this week's guest, because one of the things that we have that I talk about a lot, obviously, in my Imperfectly Natural work is how we age and staying healthy and staying well as we get into our later years. And one topic that has come up a lot in conversation in the Sober Club with the women in the Sober Club is the tricky topic of menopause. And it's only in really very recent months that I've I've realised that there's so much that I didn't know about the menopause and perimenopause and all these different stages of women's lives, really. And you'd think that I would know, but I don't. Because, you know, the truth of it is it's one of those big taboos again. It really is one of these kind of topics that people keep secret. So anyways, I got the opportunity to interview Meg Matthews, who's really done a huge amount of work in the last few years on really bringing this all out into the open. And then I wasn't sure whether to use this interview for the podcast. I wasn't sure whether people would appreciate it. But I asked the Sober Club members, and we have some guys in the club as well, and I just asked people's opinion, you know, should I run this piece? And overwhelmingly, they said, yeah, absolutely. Because even if you're listening now and you aren't a woman who is perimenopausal or menopausal, you know, you might have a mum or an auntie, or you might want to know for future reference some stuff that you might want to think about. And for the guys listening, you know, there are women in your life. So I think actually it is very generic. And of course, it's the whole crux of the interview is centred around the alcohol piece, which, as you can imagine, I'm sure, features very, very strongly when we talk about aging, when we talk about the menopause, when we talk about symptoms. The alcohol piece is critical in all of that. So anyways, I really hope you'll enjoy this interview with Meg. I just want to mention as well, just while I think of it, that our Champneys retreat is happening, she touches wood, in January. I think we've still got some places left. I'm pretty sure it is on their website now. So you'd need to go to champneys.com. You need to click on health management and you'll find it there. The title of the retreat is Self-Care in Sobriety. If you can't find it, give them a ring. Tell them it's in January. It's Self-Care in Sobriety with Janie Lee Grace, and they'll book you on. It's a fantastic way of just being with like-minded people, really going in depth on nutrition and self-care. It doesn't matter what stage you're at. We had people on the last retreat who were sober curious, hadn't actually made that decision yet what to do. And people who had one woman who was nearly 6 years sober. So it really doesn't matter what stage you're at, but we're really looking at health and well-being, optimum health and well-being, and self-care, just underpinned by that kind of sobriety piece. So anyways, I'd love it if you'd have a look, if that's something that you're interested in. I must also tell you that I do have a book coming out, super exciting. I'll give you more information nearer the time, but you can pre-order it. It's called Happy, Healthy, Sober, and that's due out in February. So yeah, that's very exciting. I'm really pleased about it. Interestingly, in the book, there is a whole section on aging and the menopause, and I get a whole variety of views in there. So just, you know, so you're aware, obviously what we're going to talk about with Meg is very much her view, not necessarily the view of everyone, but I thought it was really valid to bring you this piece. So I really hope you enjoy, and I'll see you in a bit. I'm so pleased that my guest is Meg Matthews, an icon of the 90s Britpop scene, of course, former music industry PR, events planner, designer turned entrepreneur. And Meg, the stuff you do for the menopause, it is so cool. I can't begin to tell you how excited I am to be able to chat to you. I'm sure our paths must have crossed, you know, because, you know, in that sort of early 90s thing, I was in the music biz and working in radio. I'm sure we must have met at some point.
Wow. Yeah, I'm probably sure. But you know what? I was always not really in the room, if you know what I mean. I always drank to blackout. I mean, two glasses and I blacked out. Yeah. Two drinks.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I just missed quite a lot.
Yeah. Oh God, I know. I mean, one of the phrases we always use is, you know, we are the luckiest. The fact that we've actually kind of got here, that's the title of an amazing book. God, we really are.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your work then. How did you, what happened for you? I think I've read that you kind of hit 50 and thought, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Well, actually, ironically, talking about being sober is I went to an AA meeting because I was basically, I'd be sober, and I was just like, what is the use of being sober? And I basically do meetings. Some people don't, but I do. So I went to an AA meeting and I was just like, you know what? I haven't left my house for 3 months. The anxiety, the overwhelmness of overwhelmed with life and stuff. And that is the things that I used to drink on from an early age. So when I was like 13 or 14 and I felt uncomfortable in my skin, I would drink and then I would feel amazing. Yeah. So basically my brain and my body was sort of going, why didn't you have a drink, mate? Because you know how it makes you feel. You know how it makes you feel. So however long you've been sober, it always comes back. Yeah. So I went to a meeting and I just said, look, I'm in a really bad place. I want a drink. And, you know, is this what life's about? I've hit 50. I can't leave my house. I can't drive my car. Worrying about everything, catastrophizing life. I can't even say that word. And it was just, and then as I left the meeting, and of course the power got taken out of it, and I could breathe again. And I thought, no, I'm going to be just sober for another day to just like get to bed tonight. And then this woman came over to me and tapped me on the shoulder. And she said, I think you're going through the menopause. Well, my sort of reaction was that I looked at her, sort of gave a little smile, but was thinking in my head, cheeky cow. You know, that I don't look like the Golden Girls. Gosh, who do you think, you know, like this, being all like that. But anyway, I did take her number. And then when I did get home, the penny dropped. You know, when on the way home, I was thinking about it and something kept saying, call her. Mm. So I did call her. We were on the phone for a couple of hours. And she was the one who said, just get to your GP. And get on HRT, get on this body identicals, this estrogel. I was like, estrogel, never even heard of it. Progesterone tablets, never heard of it. What? Estrogen does this? Progesterone does that? Testosterone? I was just like, why has no one taught me this? Why have I never heard the word perimenopause? Why have I had to come all the way to 50 when I now look back, a lot of my using and drinking was around in my early 40s, that's when I first got sober. And it was because I now know that if you have a bit of PMS and then you go up and you go down, and the perimenopause is also included within that month, you've got to take your week away for your period, your week before where you want to eat pounds of chocolate and, you know, and raging wild and shouting at everyone in the house. And then you get, and then you have the perimenopause on top of that, which now I know is included in that. What do I get? 5 days when I'm feeling my cycle is okay. And this cycle, women, don't take it lightly when everyone goes, oh, you know, I'm feeling like this and I'm feeling like this. These hormones on us ladies, you know, can really, I mean, you know, I know like yesterday, you know, even though I take HRT, you know, I'm still like this with my hormones underneath. And my, you know, and I had the worst day yesterday, the anxiety, the anxious feeling, you know, the lockdown doesn't help, the winter, the no sun, you know, all this can lead me either, you know, being an addict will want to tell me to, you know, these feelings, it's all, I would drink on feelings. So to sit with my feelings and feel uncomfortable is not normal, is not a normal thing that Meg would want to do. So it means eating, shopping online, you know, it could be anything from sex, it could be anything, you know, to use. And also think about drinks. So I would never like pick up, I would not say never, I can't say that, but now it's not the crutch of the tool that I go to. I have tools in place to stop me wanting to drink. And it's not willpower, everyone. It is not willpower.
No, absolutely. I mean, I love that you explain that, because you're absolutely right. It's that think, feel, act cycle, isn't it? You know, we have that thought, what feeling do I want to create? I just want to feel better, or I just want to feel less anxious or whatever. And all our associations are programmed for drinking, because most of us have been doing it for so many years.
Of course.
But just tell me a bit more about this whole, you know, how you came to this realization that most of us, you know, fairly savvy women, but we don't know why the hell. I it's only recently that I've even found out that there are tests that are possible, that are available. You have to pay for them, of course. Nothing if you go to your regular doctor. Yeah. But there are tests available that can determine your deficiencies. Yeah. I mean, just explain sort of generically what happens to most women. And of course we're all different, why does it happen? Is there any way we can be thrown clear?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, great.
So it all happens. So basically what happens is, you know, we're born with a number amount of eggs, and then every ovulate, and then we release eggs. And basically that happens, doesn't it, every week. And then as you're going through your cycle, you're getting older. 32 is the best age to have a baby. That's like what we call like the year to have a baby. And then as you get on, we now know that as we are hitting 39, 40, you could start being perimenopausal, just because your egg count, you've released most of the eggs, and it's the estrogen that the ovaries make when you release the eggs. That estrogen is probably the mother hormone of all women's bodies. So that goes out to all the estrogen receptors that are all over the body for aching joints, for migraines, for pelvic floor. So so basically that's it. So that's what, you know, for the anxiety, for the heat in the body. So it actually controls everything. You know, it's like the mother hormone. And that is just being depleted. And that can be starting at the age of, you know, early 40s. Mm. That's why now what we're trying to teach everyone, and why I'm wanting to be this, I don't know, messenger, should I say, is that at 45, when you're still having periods, and, you know, you can actually start taking HRT, because it's about prevention. Because if we have women in menopause who are not on HRT, one out of two women will get osteoporosis. And I'm one of those two. So out of us two, I'm the one. I've got osteoporosis. I got diagnosed at the age of 49, and I had no idea that osteoporosis was hereditary. I had no idea that the estrogen that I was not making enough was going to give me brittle bones, was going to give me osteoporosis. Mm. So that's another thing. So all the HRT is doing, it is about prevention. We also know that two out of three women will have strokes and heart attacks, because arteries, as the estrogen does, it makes the arteries harder. And so, you know, and then it's basically, it is just, we need this hormone. And I couldn't get my head around when I was learning and being not learning, but just sort of reading different stuff, and then like, why has no one ever told me this? Why did I always think HRT, 5 years, cancer, done and dusted?
That's the issue, isn't it? That what we hear is a lot of controversy. And for people like me, who, you know, my whole career has been about looking for the natural approach to everything. Yeah. So, you know, my sort of default position would be, oh, don't go anywhere near this, because it's synthetic, and it's, you're putting a load of chemicals into your body, and then you're going to end up getting cancer because of it. And that's the message that I've been given. Years.
Your life. Yeah. And that's what I thought. It was like, hold out to about 57, because you've only got 5 years and you want the best 5 years. Well, you can start taking this. The Body Identicals, which is available from your GP, is derived from the yam. It's the gel. You rub it on your inner thigh. It goes straight into your bloodstream. It doesn't go through your liver like synthetic oral HRT, which means it can't cause clotting. So if you have 1,000 women in the room, when you take the Body Identicals estrogen gel, you have 1,000 women in the room, 7 of those women will get breast cancer. Out of those 7, you've also got the women who drink 1 or 2 glasses or more a night, and you probably know that statistic, and also women that are obese. So if you've got 7, and then you look at the statistics of people that drink and the people that are obese in the country, does leave a very narrow few people that are going to get breast cancer. So, you know, it's all this estrogen dominant, oh my God, I can't, I'm going to get breast cancer. You know, it's this, the likelihood of getting it is so low. But what it's going to do is it's going to prevent you getting osteoporosis. It's going to protect your heart. It's going to protect your pelvic floor. It's going to protect your moods. It's going to stop your migraines. It's going to stop your night sweats. It's going to stop your hot flushes. It's going to actually give you a better life, a much better life. And you know, you can get all this on the NHS. So all this stuff that I'm talking about is coming from leading menopause specialists, you know, in the country, because and I know these GPs, it's not their fault, but it's, you know, we, you know, now it's only this year, September, that in the sex education curriculum that the menopause is now being taught.
Is it really? September. Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's that time, isn't it?
In Parliament. Yeah.
Wow.
Because, I mean, I just remember, no, it never got talked about. The only time I think I ever remember really the menopause was Sex in the City when Samantha had that hot flush. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the only time that I that sits with me. Yeah. You know, but anyone talking about the menopause, and it's so important.
Absolutely.
Because if you want, you know, a better way of life, you want to age, it helps with your collagen. I mean, it just is really a part of your life, like taking your vitamins daily.
Mm. Let's talk about other lifestyle stuff then. We'll talk about alcohol in a minute. But before we get onto that, I know in your book, in The New Hot, you know, you look at a whole bunch of things that can help, you know, the way we can eat to benefit our hormones. What would be some of your sort of generic tips then?
Well, you know what? I'm just all about, you know, I wouldn't be going out there just to look at estrogen, you know, foods, which is like chickpeas and stuff. I basically am all about a very plant-based, organic, always organic, plant-based, organic diet. Mm. Just really healthy. I mean, you know, because I notice if I eat sugar, drink too much coffee, you know, I'm going up and down like this. My insulin, which is another hormone, is also going like this. Mm. You know, diabetes is rife. Should I say that's also another thing? Diabetes and dementia is also brought on by the lack of estrogen that we now know. The studies it's like showing are unreal.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you know, if you can keep away from eating that, I know, you know, it's like just a healthy, balanced diet, you know, nothing extreme. You don't really, I mean, if, you know, I love doing all these things. I do juice fast. I do intermittent fasting. If you find what is you enjoy, I go by what my body likes. Yeah. My body quite likes fasting. So I feel good on that. Mm. It might not be for everybody, but I, you know, I drink at least 2 or 3 green juices a day. And I also, you know, like to not eat until like lunchtime. Mm. Like I haven't ate today, but then I've got a big stew on the stove and then I have that after.
Yeah.
And, you know, just making those, you know, just lots of wholesome, you know, more plant-based, you know, if you can try and keep away, you know, from anything, you know, and it's not more expensive to shop like organic. Mm. You know, it's like you don't have to go to Whole Foods because that is expensive, but you can. There's great sections at Sainsbury's and all the supermarkets have got, you know, organic vegetables.
Yeah, well, you look absolutely amazing on it. And what about the exercise stuff? You know, because again, you've got to find what works for you, haven't you?
Yeah, what works for you. Right, I mean, I'm going to admit this, I really don't like exercise.
Oh good, you're like me.
Yeah,
I don't either.
I'm not one of these people that like, I'm like, yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I really have to psych myself up. Mm. And then at the end of it, I do really like it. But even halfway through, my brain is going, no, you hate this, stop, stop, stop. Because I have one of those brains that talks to me constantly. It's like a washing machine. It just never stops talking to me, telling me everything. Oh, you look like this, you look like that. I'm like, shut up. So, you know, that I really have to be careful of, like, listening to my head. So, I really enjoy it after, but I don't enjoy it. But you, like you said, you have to find what you like. Mm. So for me, I would love to say that I'd love to run because I would, but I did do couch to 5K.
Yeah.
And then when I got there, that was it. Because it took 7 weeks and it makes you like run about a minute and then jog, walk. That's it, like lovely. But once I got there, I didn't keep it up. And now I'm really annoyed with myself because I think, why didn't I just keep that up? So I walk in the mornings very early. I'm the 5 a.m. club. There's a really good book by Robin Sharma, everyone, if you want to read the 5 a.m. club. Little did I know that I was the 5 a.m. club. I get up at 5 a.m. and then I do all my rituals that I have to do to keep my brain in check. Mm. You know, I have to walk, I have to connect with nature. I had to teach myself that because I've walked the same park for years, but I used to want to get around it because I was like, what am I going to eat later? What am I going to wear? I was never in the now.
Yeah.
And now I like, look, since the lockdown, it really slowed me up. I mean, as much as I need to say I hate the lockdown, it really helped me to really look at my life and change and things that aren't so important. And, you know, it was like, it made me slow down. So now I walk and I've watched all the seasons change in the park and it's been amazing for me mentally. And but you know what, I do get up, and I'm usually out at 6, but I have to be 7 now because I don't want to walk in the dark. And I walk till like 8 or 8:30, and then I can get back and then, you know, start my day at 9. Mm. So there is time to do that, but that is for me, and I am quite lucky because you know, I don't have young kids or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do understand that lots of people who are going to work or working in, if you're working at home, I would definitely say get out. And if you are getting the bus or the tube, try and just wear your trainers and stop a tube stop before.
Yeah.
You know, before work, and then, you know, get off at the tube stop before. So then you walk that bit, and then when you come back, do the same as you're getting home.
It's these little things, just, isn't it, that make a difference.
Yeah.
If you just do the 5 minutes, it's better than not doing anything.
It will change, yeah. And then also, if you don't really know, you know, there's so many Insta lives. Like the Insta lives I do is Lucy Wyndham Reid, and I do Richie Swan, Sort Your Fit Out. And he's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's free on Richie Swan. And then, or you can join up to do his, he's got something like a 6 weeks one going on at the moment. And then I don't know how much it is. And it's every morning at 10 a.m., a 40-minute HIIT class. And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. Just like, you laugh through it. You just, it's great. And no one can see you. And I used to like really, even though I used to always feel self-conscious in the gym. However, I mean, the same feeling, it's never changed. I started going to the gym when I was 20, and, you know, going to the gym even now, I've sort of feel self-conscious. So for doing Insta Lives at home, it's bloody fantastic. I just got my mat, got the iPad there, and nobody knows, sees you, and you can be screaming and swearing and, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
And no mirrors to look at yourself.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Mm. No, it's so true. Let's just talk a bit about the alcohol piece then, and where that fits in. Because again, I just hadn't realized, I hadn't made the connection between, you know, some of the menopausal symptoms and just how alcohol exacerbates them. I mean, really incredibly. You know, just tell us from you obviously know a lot about it, but what role does alcohol play in the menopause?
Well, I don't know because I haven't been, I haven't drunk through the menopause.
You haven't been drinking, but you must have heard through from other women, have you?
I mean, I know that a lot of women do, you know, I have a lot of women messaging me that because they feel so shit and they don't know what it is, that they come home at night, they pour themselves a glass of wine, then they start cooking, they have another glass of wine.
Absolutely.
Then they sit down with dinner, they have another glass of wine. Then after dinner, they have another glass of wine. Them and their partner, they open another bottle. Before they know it, it's all those empty calories. You wake up the next day, that awful hangover, you know, and if you're at that stage where your drinking has got to where the alcohol has stopped working and it's not joy anymore, and you wake up and you've got your kids and you start to feel that guilt and shame. And I know that feeling because that's what I got. And I know lots of women, when I describe this, they can relate to this.
Yeah.
And they feel that guilt and shame, and they know there's that sort of bit of that craving that's sort of there that, you know, it's a phenomenal craving feeling. It's like, you know, sort of that feeling. And if you get that,
it's time to stop.
Time.
Yeah, exactly.
Time to stop. Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, I always drank, I mean, even 2 glasses or 3 glasses of wine, the next day, I would not missed out bits. So I had sort of blacked out, not like the whole evening, but I would have missed bits. Like I would have like known that I'd, you know, did I say that? Yeah, you did say that, you know. But I, you know, but that was quite a while ago. So but it's just what women DM me, all those sort of, you know, those things. And then they, you know, and also the worst thing is that, you know, we have this belly fat that goes around our middle, which comes on when you're going through the menopause, and those empty calories that makes you feel down. You come in, you look around, you just feel rubbish at the end of the day. Nothing is good. So you drink more and you're just getting this cycle.
It's
and before
just,
you know it. It's you know, and I know loads of women are in that cycle, and it's just, you know, and they just like, please get me out. And it's hard because you can't see a way out.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the clients that I've worked with have said that they, you know, again, it would be that they were in having menopausal symptoms, but they didn't recognize that that's what it was. They thought it was just anxiety. Exactly. And in so many cases, I can't tell you how many clients I've had that told me that they rocked up to a GP. They spoke about the anxiety. Nothing was really discussed other than this anxiety and depression. And then they were given antidepressants. And then in some cases, they were given HRT as well. But they were never asked about their drinking, ever.
No, it's
how incredible. And yet the connection, you have to make the connection. It's critical.
Connection.
You know, and you can't start from a place of drinking too much to then start loading on, you know, the other prescriptions. And many of the people I've worked with have found that once they've ditched the booze, the other symptoms, certainly the anxiety, they have no
Of course. I mean, you know, whenever I drank, I mean, that was one of the reasons why I gave up, was because of the anxiety the next day was through the roof.
Yeah.
It was just the worst feeling. I wake up in the morning and I'd want another drink to get rid of the anxiety because the anxiety was so bad. So it's just like catch 22.
Yeah.
I never want to have that feeling ever again.
Absolutely.
It's just the worst.
Yeah. So anyway, Meg, your work is amazing. The book is great, The New Heart. Just tell us what you would sort of recommend then for any woman who's going through this, you know, who's just in the early stages, who, like me, you know, it's only relatively recently that I've kind of clicked on this. And I can't believe it. It's a little bit like the alcohol piece for me, actually, because with the alcohol piece, I thought I was the only one who was feeling shit and couldn't stop. I had no idea that there was this whole world out there of people who were drinking too much, you know, grey area drinkers, as we call it now, because I never had a rock bottom. And I just hadn't caught on, because it's not common knowledge. And I feel exactly the same about this whole menopause thing.
Yeah.
It really is only very recently that I've realised that possibly there are answers, and that, you know, I'm not the only person with symptoms, and there is something you can do.
Yeah.
Thank you for your work, because God's sake, bad, isn't it, that we're not taught this?
I know. Well, that's why I had to do it. I mean, I've always been I thought I'm a celebrity, as they say, but I have a platform, and I just thought, I don't want any women to go through this, so I'm going to come out and talk about it. And, you know, people just said, you know, wow, you know, you were so brave. But you know what? It didn't really feel brave, but it felt like it's something that I was supposed to do, really. Mm. You know, I've always been a voice for animals. So I've always had the backlash of, you know, anti-fox hunting, anti-badger baiting, you name it. I'm always saving everything, talking about everything, get those lions out of there, get rid of zoos. So I've always had the knock on effect of like, Meg, here she goes talking about this again. So I was a bit like, you know what? I get knocked anyway by the press and whoever else. So, you know, I'm going to start talking about the menopause. If they do start, you know, putting up these headlines and whatever, you know what, I know that I'm doing something good. And they didn't, by the way, which was good. I mean, a few little, you know, journalists had little sort of, I've read back, you know, where they've interviewed me, and it's a little bit like, you know, oh, and she talks about dry vaginas, and they word it just not really like, you know, like that. But you know what, it still gets it out there.
Exactly.
Still someone's going to read it, and like you say, like, you only sort of just learn. I mean, I have that daily, women walking down the street saying, oh my god, I've just read your book and I cannot believe I didn't know any of what you're saying.
Tell me, what someone listening to this, what's the first thing they can do then? Should they go and see their GP? What should they ask for, because they're not going to get tests,
okay, are they? Now what you need to do is you really need to get yourself knowledge.
Yeah.
So you need to go to my website, or you can download my app, Meg's Menopause. It's got a symptom tracker on my app, so you can start putting in what you feel each day, and then you can sort of look. Okay, so you need, knowledge is power. So you're going to know more than your GP. So if you go on my website, because it's by the NICE guide, the NICE guide says you are allowed to have HRT at the age of 40. If you're 45 or over, you don't even need a blood test. This is on the NICE guide, which is the government site. It says you do not need. That's all on my website, the NICE guide. Also on my website, I have the ABC of HRT. So if you're bewildered by it, which you probably are, The ABC of HRT will run through everything you want to know about every different sorts of ACE, synthetic, bioidenticals, body identicals, you know, homeopathic. It will cover everything on there. Then there's the 34 symptoms. You can print that out and tick that off. You've got your symptom tracker at your hand every day there. Then you can do 34 symptoms, tick those. Then you can look on the ABC of HRT, or you can watch an IGTV of me talking, showing all the stuff that's available from the NHS. So you're going to learn so much on my website, and it's really easy to read. Nothing is long. Every article is only about 5 minutes. And it's just easy, and it's in layman's terms because I'm dyslexic and I have ADHD. That's why I move all the time. And, you know, and that's another reason. Most people that have HRD self-medicate. 99% of people with ADHD medicate on alcohol because you feel so high all the time that you need to bring yourself down. So that's another thing. It's a really, and a lot of people are you know, have ADHD, but, you know, I got diagnosed about 10 years ago, but I didn't do anything about it. And I only started taking medication this lockdown, and it's just changed my life. So basically, go on the website and you can just get everything on there. You can learn, and you are going to know more than your GP. So go in there, you know, ready with it in a piece of paper, or, you know, on your Zoom or on your phone call, just say, this is it. I know about this. You know, the estradiol gel, the one that's derived from the yam that you rub on your leg, it only costs the NHS £4 a month. Wow. £4. In one day, we spend £6 million on hip replacements and fractures. And about 80% of those are from osteoporosis. £6 million a day. So we all started taking, you know, prevention instead of waiting till we're riddled with osteoporosis at 56, 57. If I'd left it 10 years, you know, I'd probably be, you know, bedridden or whatever in my 60s, or have a broken hip or a fractures or whatever, you know. And I found out because I broke my wrist, and I fell off a 3-meter wall, not like a trip. But when I went in there, I was so embarrassed to say that I was trying to break in my house, that I basically sort of just said I just tripped over. So then they went, oh, we better give you a DEXA scan then if you only tripped over.
Right.
And that's the reason why. So it was I was very lucky because I just sort of said, I didn't want to say I'd fallen off this huge wall. I just sort of said, I'd left my keys and I was trying to get in my back door, you know. So I just said I tripped, and they went, oh, you better have a DEXA scan. I went, what's a DEXA scan? Mm. So that's another thing I want to do. Also, I'm going to lobby. I want to get into government, and I want to, at 40 and 45, every woman in this country gets sent an email or a letter to say to have a cholesterol test. Yeah. Now, with that, it would be very easy at 40 to say perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, DEXA scan, osteoporosis. Tell women, every woman in this country, that this is it. 45, tell them that they can, you know, can get this from the NHS because it is cheap. It's not like I'm telling everyone to get this really expensive drug. It makes sense. It all makes sense that, you know, the amount of, there's a stroke every 3 seconds in this country.
Wow.
You know, and women, we're overtaking men. Mm. And it's just, you know, that, you know, and that's why I want to get this passed, and I want this to be a law that's passed.
Yeah.
Because why work all your life and then all of a sudden be a CEO? I know so many, when I do these big talks in the cities and at this bank, these really high powered women, you know, 20% of women will leave their jobs because they can't cope anymore.
Yeah.
So you're just getting to this area of your life where I thought, right, I'm hitting 50. Yes. You know, I'm here. You know, I raised a daughter, done all this, you know, it's like, you know, I felt like I really peaked. And then it was like, bang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was just given this, like, just felt rubbish.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if I hadn't gone, then I probably would have picked up a drink, on it. But, you know, I didn't. And I understand women out there. So please listen to your body. Go to the Meg's Menopause website. And, you know, when you are feeling that rubbish, just look at the symptoms and tick them off. Read about HRT, and it will take you, like, you know, probably in half an hour reading that or getting my book, you will know more than you've ever known in your whole life. And it's easy. And take control, take the power back, and do something, because, you know, you'll prevent these dementia, diabetes, and also you'll feel better in yourself, which will be the first step from not wanting to have a drink.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it, Meg. Thank you so much for the work
you're
doing.
Thank you for having
it's
me.
Fab. You're a real star. Just remind us the website then. Is it megsmenopause.com?
Yeah, megsmenopause.com. Instagram is megsmenopause, and then the app is free. It's on Apple and Android. You can download that. Women on there also is really good because there is a chat room in there. Like, everyone's on there chatting, so you don't feel alone and you can just ask questions all day long.
Brilliant. Thank you, Meg. Appreciate it.
So check out more of Meg's work. And as I say, if you're at that stage, you'll find an awful lot in the Sober Club as well, because we have lots of experts talking about different aspects of nutrition. We've got a piece in the Sober Club with a hormonal expert, and Dr. Hannah Short also has done an exclusive piece for us in the Sober Club with different lifestyle tips for the menopause. Also coming up for Sober Club members, we've got a food addiction coach. Well, that's an interesting one. I hadn't realised the extent to which people have these kind of cross addictions. You know, as Meg was talking about, when she wasn't drinking, she was looking to fill that gap somehow, with whether that be with sugar or shopping or sex or whatever. And it's so common, you know, with people that that choose to drink, they need to fill the gap with something. So we do a lot around that in the Sober Club. We are opening up again for members very soon, so please do check it out. If you're, you know, the early stages or sober curious, do grab yourself my PDF, How to Get and Stay Sober During Lockdown. There's a few nice tips in there. And, you know, always check out the blogs, because we've got some nice competitions and various bits and bobs in there as well. Got some great guests coming up. And as always, I'm happy to hear your suggestions. Oh, God, I completely forgot to tell you. It almost escaped my notice as I was kind of uploading the podcast. I noticed that we've gone past 500,000 listens, 500,000 listens. That's really cool. I think it is, considering that, you know, it's just me. You know, it's not published. I don't have any team behind me. You see all these amazing podcasts with their millions and millions and millions of listens, and you just say, oh wow, it'd be great to be picked up by one of these big publishing houses. But you know, it's just me and my little with my little laptop. But as you all know, I'm really lucky to have some fantastic guests, and I so appreciate that. I really do. So appreciate guests giving up their time to do this for me. And I so appreciate you for listening. I get so many messages from people who've said the podcast has really, really helped them, really changed their perception. You know, they look forward to it every Friday, and that's, you know, that's enough for me. So I'll keep on doing it as long as, you know, y'all keep on listening. And as long as I've got guests, you know, good guests to bring you and good stuff to share with you. You know, I love doing this work. It's great. It's Alcohol Awareness Week next week, if I'm not mistaken, the week of the 16th. So make sure you check out some of the stuff put out by Alcohol Change UK. They've got loads of stuff going on. And I think anything that raises awareness of where we're at with alcohol in the UK is a good thing, particularly, you know, if we come back to that same piece that I'm always banging on about, that, you know, we do have a choice, and we're not giving up anything. We can absolutely just focus on what we're gaining. So, yeah, Alcohol Change UK is the place to go if you want to have a look at any of those stats, or if you want to arm yourself with the knowledge as to where we really are at with alcohol, because I think it's a pretty grim picture, to be honest. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. I think one of the there was a politician who'd put a tweet out about the fact that mental health issues had not been exacerbated over lockdown, or I think it was something to do with depression and suicide, and this tweet said that the rates had not increased, or that it had all been dealt with, you know, properly by the NHS. And well, I think there'd be a lot of people that would disagree with that. I think there'd be an awful lot of stats to show that that is not, in fact, the case. That the rise in mental health issues, depression, anxiety, and suicides is really quite terrifying. And alcohol plays a part in that. Of course, it's not the only part, but it plays a part. And when people feel they've got nowhere to go, you know, they're hitting the bottle. And, you know, as I've said in other podcasts, I still do find it interesting that alcohol is, you know, deemed essential. But, you know, I can't buy a pair of shoes. Not that I need any shoes either, actually. I've got some. Anyways, I will see you same time next week. You know where to find me, at Janie Lee Grace. You can always, you know, obviously follow on social media. You can always drop me an email. Do check out thesoberclub.com. And if you have got the Sky Channel, Sky Channel 192, check out Feel Good Factor TV. Love to know what you think of that. It's filmed at home. It's, you know, it's not, there's no budget. It's but it's been pulled together in record time. And it's great to actually have an opportunity to share this stuff that doesn't usually get out into the mainstream. You know, when we talk about you know, holistic health, holistic living, skincare without chemicals, all of those stuff, all of those things don't usually have much of a place in the mainstream media. So it's great that the guys who pulled this channel together, you know, have allowed us free rein, those of us who are presenters, free rein to talk about the stuff that feels really important for us. Give yourself a massive hug and look after yourself. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.